This book is lovingly dedicated to the Nazarene. 1. Casey. The police lights in my rearview mirror almost destroy me. Only 10 miles out of Shady Grove, police race through traffic behind me. Sirens cycling and blaring, those blue bulbs painting terror inside my rain-drenched car. There's no place to pull over. The traffic ahead is jammed and the sides of the road drop off into ditches. My heart fists and slams, and I break out in sweat. But there's also the tiniest relief. Soon it will all be over, this running and hiding, this pretending to be someone else, this detachment from real life, because relationships can be so painful when you have to rip them off like wax. But as quickly as that relief comes, reality banishes it. It's my life that will be over, as soon as they turn me over to my tormentor. And then they'll start on my family. I glance at myself in the rearview mirror. They'll identify me right away because of my injuries. My jaw is bruising and swollen, and my hand is sticky with blood. Under my torn jeans, my legs feel bruised and bloody. They won't care that I fought for my life tonight, and for someone else's. It won't matter what good I've done, because my best friend's murder scene was covered with my DNA. In their minds, I'm a cold-blooded killer. They'll say I deserve whatever happens. As the police cars weave through traffic and move up behind me, I pull into a movie theater parking lot, knowing they'll fly in behind me and surround me, weapons drawn. Instead, they stay on the slick road and hurry past the parking lot. Holding my breath, I turn around in my seat, staring out the wet back window, amazed, watching as they reach their destination a half mile up the road. It's a two-car wreck, and the team of police cruisers barricade it, stopping traffic. I let out my breath as tears overtake me. So it's not over. It goes on. I'll keep running. I wipe my eyes on my wet shirt sleeve and gather myself enough to pull my car around to the dark side of the theater. I reach for my purse and the duffel bag I stashed on the floorboard behind my seat days ago. I dig into my purse and find a concealer stick and a lipstick. I wish I had shadow and base, but they're in the apartment I can never return to. I turn on my mirror light, smear concealer over my bruising cheek and just above my lip. I use lipstick to color my cheekbones to try to make them look more normal. It's not perfect, but at least it isn't immediately apparent that I've been beaten up tonight. I zip open my duffel bag and pull out my plain black baseball cap, tie up my hair in a ponytail, and pull it through the back of the cap. I dig into my car's ashtray and find a nickel that I hope will work as a screwdriver. I slip out and walk back to the front parking lot. It's late and the last movie is over, but a handful of cars are scattered around. A rusty Buick with two flat tires is closest, so I kneel behind it, rain soaking me, and unscrew the license plate. Then I hurry back to my car and switch mine out. Soon they'll be broadening the search for my Kia. I'll have to ditch it somewhere, but until I can get far enough out of town, this will have to do. I find a side street and pull onto it, heading away from the traffic and the wreck. I follow the back roads, trying to head west. After an hour or so, I no longer expect to hear sirens every minute. I don't know where I am, but when you have no destination, it doesn't really matter if you get lost. Hours later, I pass the Mississippi line, putting Alabama and Georgia behind me. I have to get rid of this car soon. My jaw aches, along with my knee and my bloody shin, and fatigue pulls at me like elastic tethers. I have to get somewhere and clean myself up. An hour or so later, I enter a seedy little town where men loiter on the corners. I detour to a different street, but nothing looks any safer. Up ahead is a motel that would struggle to get a one-star rating, but they're more likely to accept cash and not demand to see my driver's license. The office behind a dirty glass window is thick with smoke. A man with piercings in his lip greets me. "I need a room," I say. "I'm paying cash."